COVID-19 and boosters is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. Our guest is Peter Pitts, who is the president and co-founder of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest, CMPI. Their website, by the way, is cmpi.org. He also serves as a visiting professor at the University of Paris School of Medicine. He lives in New York City, and at one point he was involved with the Food and Drug Administration. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Peter, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
All right. Before we get into the whole issue of COVID-19, vaccines and boosters and so forth, first I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts on vaccine mandates, per se, as opposed to just the vaccines themselves?
Sure. Well, I'm very pro-vaccine, but I am not a mandate person, and I'll tell you why. When you start dictating people what they should do, they push back. And that's especially true when you don't explain to them why you think it's a good idea. I think we'll go a lot further, a lot faster if we can spend more time explaining and a lot less time wagging our fingers at people. And that's especially true these days, considering the 30% of Americans who aren't vaccinated don't like Tony Fauci. They don't trust Tony Fauci. They're not listening to Tony Fauci. So continuing to have Dr. Fauci preach to us about vaccines is counterproductive.
Okay, interesting. Now, it used to be said that if you had the two shots of the vaccine of Pfizer and the two shots of Moderna, that you were, quote-unquote, fully vaccinated. But then, somewhere along the lines, they were saying, no, you got to have a booster. Now they're even talking about a second booster. What is a fully vaccinated person today? And by the way, let's just timestamp this. We're doing this program, this discussion, in early April in the year of our Lord 2022. I say that because there's different developments all the time. But what is a fully vaccinated person as of this moment?
Well, as of this person, fully vaccinated still means, when it comes to the two mRNA vaccines, two injections. That makes you fully vaccinated. The boosters are in addition to that. And obviously, more antibodies are better than fewer. But the problem is we really don't know kind of scientifically what sufficient protection looks like. The two mRNA vaccines, when you got your second injection and you were fully vaccinated, you're about 90% successful in not contracting COVID. But of course, COVID mutates. The Omicron and the BA2 variant are more infectious. So the booster shots really are aimed to focus on those, most at risk, older people, people with certain pre-existing conditions, people who are immunocompromised. But we just don't know what sufficient levels look like, nor do we really understand how quickly the vaccine protection wanes. So these are still scientific questions we've got to understand.
Okay. And where does the Johnson & Johnson vaccines fit in this discussion in terms of how does one define somebody who is, quote-unquote, fully vaccinated?
Well, fully vaccinated with the J&J vaccine is one dose. It's a single-dose vaccine. But again, we don't know how quickly that vaccine wanes. But clearly, when you're vaccinated, you have a degree of protection that works. And most importantly, people, I think, need to recognize that a vaccine doesn't mean that you'll never get infected. It means that if you do get infected, you're less likely to have severe symptoms. That's incredibly important because one of the key learnings from COVID-19 is that we've got to protect those most at risk. Imagine this. Imagine if right now in time, only 20,000 people had died from COVID. We'd be having a completely different conversation. So when you look at infection numbers, and which are higher, but hospitalization rates and deaths are still very low, you recognize that vaccines are a bit of a passport through this problem. And it facilitates the movement of COVID from a pandemic to an endemic, kind of like the annual flu.
How many people in America have died from COVID so far, about?
It's hard to say, because you had people who died from COVID. You had people who died when they had COVID. So I don't even want to quote a number because we're just not clear. I guess the best I can say is too many. And, what we've got to do now is protect those most at risk, because we lost too many older Americans who needn't have died had we jumped on this a little bit more quickly relative to focusing on protecting those most at risk.
Well, I don't want to get into politics here, but Doesn't Trump, former president, get some credit for putting this whole thing, you know, on a fast track, Operation Warp Speed? Now, I say that, and then some conservative friends turn around and say, what do you mean? Operation Warp Speed was terrible, you know, but they're not fans of the vaccine, you know, and they're certainly opposed to the vaccine mandates. But anyway, it seems to me that what they were able to do under the Trump administration the last few months was to really fast-track this thing. Now, maybe in the long run that'll turn out to be a bad thing, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I think that obviously, you know, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, Operation Warp Speed was just an enormous success. One of the lessons from COVID-19 is that when we all pull in the same direction, we can accomplish amazing things. You know, when the government and scientists and industry and doctors and patients all work together, rather than shooting arrows at each other, we can get the job done on incredibly complicated and important tasks. Now imagine if we take those lessons and we apply them to things like cancer. We can make great things happen, but that requires kind of putting the politics aside and, you know, pulling in the same direction. And that may seem a little naive, but I think if we focus on what we did, we can realize it's a little bit of a roadmap for the future.
Okay, why do you think the vaccinations stalled? And I believe you used a number that maybe one third or so of Americans, let's say American adults, are not vaccinated. Why? Why would that be the case?
Well, you know, on the one hand, you know, no one likes getting a shot. Let's face it, some people are more, you know, concerned about getting jabbed than others. But I think people didn't get the shots for a couple of reasons. Firstly, I think that when people pushed and told them they had to, oftentimes a natural human response is to push back and say no. Then you have people who believe that vaccines are bad and evil and they'll put microchips in you. And those people are the last gasp of vaccine denial. And I think that putting energy against them is probably spending a good effort after bad. I think the majority of 30% who aren't vaccinated in the U.S. are just hesitant, they're not quite sure what to do. They want to wait and see. And those people can be helped by educating them relative to vaccines. So, for example, early on in the Biden administration, the president said, get vaccinated, you're free and clear, you'll never get COVID. And that's completely wrong. It's never been true. That's not what vaccines do. So when people began to see people getting infected who are vaccinated from Omicron, they go, doesn't work. I'm not getting vaccinated. So I think the battle to really dig into that vaccine hesitant population is health literacy. And another lesson learned from COVID is health literacy in this country, understanding healthcare issues, is just abysmal. We've got to face up to it and solve that problem.
What about the comment about and you know, you're not allowed to read about these things on social media and so forth, but you know, I see some sites such as citizenfreepress.com, which just, you know, provides a lot of information you wouldn't read about elsewhere. And it just seems like there's a common story where many young athletes die in the process of, you know, like playing a game in some sort of strenuous, you know, activity that most of us couldn't engage in because we're not those kind of athletic types or whatever. We're not up to that, you know, that level. And it seems as if the death, you know, through heart attacks is at a higher level, and they're often saying it's because of these shots, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, first of all, as we say in the business, you know, the plural of anecdote is not data. You know, secondly, I have not seen any evidence whatsoever that links those two things together. A lot of people talk about myocarditis, for example, and the scientific fact is that you are more a person is more likely to have myocarditis from COVID-19. Than actually getting the vaccine. So in that respect, the vaccine is almost protective against that type of heart condition. But, you know, science is hard and science changes. And people say, well, you said this week and next week you said something else. And you have to say, listen, you know, we're learning. Science changes. That's what science is all about. Because, I mean, honestly, the last time most people touched science was in high school when we were all dissecting rats and there was a right answer and there was a wrong answer. And this type of science is much more nuanced and complex, and it's hard. And sometimes it's hard for people to recognize that something that you thought was true might actually not be true because we've collected more data and had a better understanding of what's going on.
Okay, what are your thoughts on booster shots? And let's start with the first booster.
Well, like I said, yeah, I think that more antibodies are better than fewer, and especially for at-risk populations. I'm over 50. I've now had two booster shots because I feel that the more protection I have, the better. But that's my choice. We just don't know how urgently needed booster shots are. We're still collecting that data. But I think that we do know that for at-risk populations, it's probably a good idea. although the way it's communicated by the government, it makes it sound as though it's urgent, and if you don't get a booster shot, you will be completely unprotected, which is entirely untrue. So it comes back down to being straight with the American public and explaining to them, explaining things to them in ways they can understand that are true and not overly simplistic, and the truth will set us free.
Okay, can you define at-risk populations when it comes to COVID?
Sure. So when it comes to COVID, we talk about at-risk. What we mean are people over the age of 50, because most people that suffered serious consequences and death from COVID-19 were over 50. People who are immunocompromised, who have a condition that causes their body not to be able to fight off infections, and people with certain pre-existing conditions, since COVID really attacks your respiratory system. So, for example, if you have asthma or COPD, you'll be at higher risk.
Okay, and what about obesity?
Obesity, diabetes, yeah, there's a whole slew of pre-existing conditions that call for closer attention to getting vaccinated. And that's why it's so important that people have not been vaccinated or not gotten a booster shot to talk to their doctors. And, you know, the doctor really does understand any given individual's, you know, personal healthcare history.
You know, that's interesting. I'm glad that you said, you know, your own views on this booster. So you've had booster one and booster two. I've done the two. It's so strange. I don't agree with Bill Maher very often, and yet I find myself agreeing with him sometimes, especially in this day of, there's kind of a lot of insanity out there. But one of the things he said was when the boosters first came out, he said, wait a minute, I took two for the team, but now I don't, you know, what is this going to be, an ongoing thing? If you take a booster, you're going to have to do it next year and the next year. Is the booster thing going to be an ongoing issue?
Well, first of all, it's not like we're asking people to push a boulder up a hill. You know, we're asking them to get a shot. It's not that big of a deal. You know, we get a shot, or we should be getting a shot every year for the flu. I think going forward, you know, with COVID-19 becoming an endemic, we'll get one shot, and that one shot will protect us for the year against the annual flu and the annual variant of COVID-19. You know, getting a shot or even getting two shots is not that much to ask to protect ourselves, but more importantly, to protect our family and our neighbors and our communities and our cities and our states, because getting vaccinated isn't just about protecting yourself. It's about protecting everybody. So when people say to me, I'm not going to get vaccinated, if I get COVID, big deal. I don't care. That's the right. If they want to get sick, let them go ahead and get sick. But they don't have the right to put everybody else at risk. And this is something we need to do for each other. It's the right thing to do as part of a community. It really is kind of the most current manifestation of being your brother's keeper.
Huh. Well, you know, this is interesting because I know some people who've chosen not to get vaccinated at all, as far as COVID, because they feel like, okay, I already had it, and my natural antibodies are stronger than whatever this shot would give me, and the shot might put me at risk, you know, health-wise. So what are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, first of all, natural immunity, incredibly important and totally true, and the fact that, you know, spokespeople for the federal government said natural immunity wasn't real, it just boggles the imagination. That's basic, you know, virus science. So shame on them. But it doesn't mean that you are better immunized than getting a vaccine. That's not true. And what's even better is having natural immunity and getting a vaccine. Again, more is better. And it's just it's time to put down the divisiveness and just have people do the right thing here.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, conflicting information out there, and, you know, who can you trust? And it doesn't settle well with my spirit that, you know, you've got some of these big tech companies deciding, okay, this is fake news when it comes to COVID and dealing with COVID, but this is, you know, authentic news and so forth. And I don't think science necessarily works that way. I mean, they have to, you know, in fact, the phrase settled science is an oxymoron because, you know, they're always having to rediscover. Okay, we have 20 seconds to wrap up. CMPI.org, but a closing thought, sir, on that.
If you think you don't want to get vaccinated, go talk to your doctor, have a good, honest conversation, and go forward from there.
Professor Peter Pitts, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay,
thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.